Dagestan, the easternmost autonomous republic in the Russian Federation's Caucasus region, shares land borders with Azerbaijan, Georgia, Chechnya, and the Russian Republic. To the east is the Caspian Sea. Although Russian is Dagestan's official language, only a tiny minority of its population is ethnic Russian. Perhaps 5%, says Paul Goebel, an expert on the peoples of the former Soviet Union.
There are 30 different indigenous nationalities that speak 30 different languages, almost none of which are mutually intelligible. The Avars have been, in recent years, the predominant nationality. They speak Avar, which is a Paleo-Caucasic language.
Economically and politically, Dagestan is in shambles, Mr. Goebel suggests.
Dagestan is a place that earns money from the transit of oil and gas rather than the production of oil and gas, unlike, say, Azerbaijan or Turkmenistan, which earn money from production. Dagestan has clearly become the most unstable place in the Russian Federation. Part of that has to do with extreme poverty. You've got large numbers of unemployed young men, and that's a source of terrorist violence. Second, you have a long tradition of Islamic and ethnic resistance to central power. And third, right now, you have a choice, possibly, of a new president for Dagestan, something that Mr. Medvedev has been mulling over for the last 60 days.
Mr. Goebel explains the Kremlin will pick one from a list of five candidates, and Parliament in turn will be expected to ratify that choice. But this time it is not absolutely certain Dagestan's Parliament will comply, in which case a crisis is likely to follow. Mr. Goebel suggests that the current violence in Dagestan is the result of different political factions trying to show off just what they are capable of if their candidate is not chosen. But Russian journalist Masha Lipman of the Carnegie Moscow Center suggests the problems the Kremlin faces in Dagestan are not categorically different from those in other parts of the North Caucasus, particularly in Chechnya and Ingushetia.
Some are the result of bad policies, first and foremost the policies of neglect, appointing loyal leaders, pro-Moscow leaders in the regions of the North Caucasus, and looking the other way at the accumulating problems. In Dagestan, the problem is aggravated by very difficult ethnic structure. So on top of the economic problems, crime problems, the problems of corruption, it is difficult to find the right person to appoint as the leader of Dagestan for the very fact of this very delicate balance of difficult ethnic groups. There is no good solution that can improve the situation in the region in conceivable future.
But some of these political problems are not unique to the Caucasus, Ms. Lipman says.
The bottom line is the Kremlin picks the leaders for all of Russia's 8 dozen regions. The leader, of course, is dependent on the Kremlin not just because he's picked by the federal authorities, but also because Dagestan is economically not viable, just as almost all the regions in the North Caucasus. Dagestan is just one example of a territory where acts of violence, often with fatalities, happen on an almost daily basis. And the cause of this violence is diverse. Radical Islam is one, high crime is another, corruption leads to criminalization of business. We see the inability of the leadership of Dagestan to control killings of administrative officials, of policemen. This is a well-known fact.
But, Paul Goebel says, the Kremlin is inclined to blame militant Islam for many of Dagestan's troubles.
They've learned that they can visit any amount of violence on their own population, as far as the West is concerned, if they identify opposition as Islamist. But there are other kinds of opposition, too. There are ethnic differences, there are regional differences. They play on each other. Islam in Dagestan has historically been among the most obstreperous and resistant to the expansion of Russian power.
However, the causes for violence in Chechnya and in Dagestan are not identical, Mr. Goebel emphasizes.
The problems in Chechnya were an ethno-national movement that the Russians tried to suppress, and that movement gradually evolved into a more religious one. In Dagestan, you did not have a Dagestan national liberation run. What you've had over the last 15 years is this desire to be left alone. We have tended to forget that most of the traditional Muslim leadership in the North Caucasus was trained in Bukhara and Tashkent. That's still true. And that what is going on in the Ferghana Valley in Central Asia and what is going on in the North Caucasus is very closely related.
This week, President Medvedev named a little-known Siberian governor and businessman as his personal envoy to the North Caucasus. The newly created, largely Muslim federal district, over which Alexander Kropotkin will have sweeping powers, includes the conflict-ridden republics of Dagestan, Chechnya, and Ingushetia, as well as the less volatile republics of North Ossetia, Kabardino-Balkaria, and Karachaeva-Cherkessia. Its capital will be the Russian region of Stavropol, which lies within the Northern Caucasus mountain range. For International Press Club, I'm Judith Latham.